10,000 years can give you such a crick in the neck.
Welcome to Main Street Mechies. I am your ghost host, your co-host, your Disney fanatic, Alex.
That was wonderful. I have no words. And I'm Noah, your other co-host, and welcome to Main Street Mechies.
See, I can do that yelling portion because I know I'm editing this week, and you won't have to deal with that horror that I just put onto the audio file.
Hey, I think it sounded great on my end, and I think it was also a pretty clever tie-in for this week's topic.
I had a different one, and then when we started, so listeners, a little peek behind the magic over here.
Ooh.
We record on Discord. We do not record in the same room. I actually heard from a couple people that they thought we did.
Got them.
But we do not. Yeah, gotcha.
Gotcha.
But what we do is we will chit chat for about 30 minutes after the time that we said we would record. And listen, do a co-listen on Spotify. And so this week, Noah was treating us to the fantastic Aladdin soundtrack because we are talking about the very much contested, undesired Genie Plus and Genie and Lightning Lane system.
And as you can tell, we are maintaining neutrality on the topic.
Yeah, well,
but not really.
Not really, but no one else has. And so I would say we've avoided this topic for the most part because I don't know. They haven't released it yet. I feel like there's so little information for how big of a change it is. There's just so little information.
I mean, it debuts in Disney World on the 19th, right? So if you're listening to this, we're recording this, we record a week in advance. So if you're listening to this, then Genie has probably gone live. So, well, we hope you're doing well out there in the future.
Honestly, Noah pointed out to me, I didn't realize this. I suggested we had a different topic originally planned for this week. And then when they announced that Genie's dropping on the 19th, we were like, okay, we got to talk about Genie now.
We got to get it out of the way. And I think the timing worked out great. Our pushing the topic back just gave us the perfect timing to talk about it.
We release it on the day. So if anybody listens to this podcast at any point as they're going to a Disney park, whether it's land or world, please message me. That would make my day.
Yeah, seriously.
And I will be immediately sending it to Noah, but send us a message about that, because that truly would be the coolest thing ever to know somebody listened to this going to a park.
Oh, and on that day with this episode too. Should we get into it? Should we start the discussion?
Let's just, in case that ever happens, in case somebody's going to a park and they've never experienced Genie Plus before. Oof. This might be a pessimistic episode on the software. Depending on how it goes, we're going to try to kind of stick to the facts and stick to general opinions and not throw down on it. But if you want to go in blind and optimistic, maybe listen to this on your second day.
But here's the thing. Everything we know about Genie right now is the stuff that Disney has curated to create the optimal image of Genie in the audience's mind. Like, no one's used it yet. So all the info we have is, in theory, the best side of Genie. Which, wow, that's not great.
I guess that's technically true, but like, if you said that about like everything that Disney puts forward, then you would expect everything. Like, they've done that and then absolutely nailed it. Do you remember how mad people were when Wishes was getting canceled for Happily Ever After?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I understand that that's its own hot topic because the fireworks are now changed again, and Happily Ever After was very much beloved. But it's people were so mad, and they like showed Happily Ever After, I think a similar way as they showed Enchantment. And there was still a lot of backlash, and people were like, you can't take wishes away from us. It's like, these projectors look bad on YouTube, and like all this kind of stuff. And I mean, then Happily Ever After turned out to be just an absolute slam.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's necessarily a fair
case. True.
I will agree with it, though, as far as its like functionality, especially with Disney's notoriety with bad Wi-Fi in the parks and bad service in the parks.
Yeah.
This has the likelihood of, especially on the 19th, not going super great.
Oh, I am 95% confident that some bug will rear its ugly face the day of the launch and just ruin the experience for like a handful of people.
It's either going to ruin it or it's going to be a good bug, and then it will be, who knows, a bug could save Genie Plus.
But also, I can totally see Genie Plus, like, bugging out and telling everyone, like, and, because, like, we'll get to this, but part of the appeal is you tell it what you like and it creates your itinerary for you, and what if it accidentally tells everyone to go ride, like, Big Thunder Mountain at 2:30 because the wait will be 15 minutes and doesn't adjust for that, and so you get, like, a massive crowd of people going there thinking they're not going to get a line when they actually are going to get a line. Like, that'd be a pretty crazy malfunction.
Oh, that would be. And still, it's very likely. Yeah.
It is.
Okay, before we get too far into the weeds, let's explain exactly what this is, because a week before this is being released, I think that's still the largest question about this program is, what does it do and what it actually has in it.
And before we get to that, think we should mention, what is it replacing? So,
yes.
And it's been different in Disney World versus Disneyland, the line avoidance systems in place in each park. So I'm not as familiar as what was in place. Was it FastPass Plus or MaxPass?
It was FastPass Plus.
And I think MaxPass was Disneyland?
No. MaxPass was Disneyland, yes.
Okay.
But
so,
the FastPass, I think it was Plus. I can't remember if
so.
It was Plus.
So how did that work in the pre-Genie era? How would you go about getting a FastPass in Disney World?
Okay. So pre-Genie era, the technology portion of it was actually pretty much the same. So you would go into the My Disney Experience app. There was a whole FastPass thing. And you would pick, before your trip, I think it was 60 days before, you would get to choose your FastPasses for each day. And so I think you got to do that at, like, I think it was like 7 a.m. Florida time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were a West Coast person, the day you got your fast passes, you were up at 4 in the morning.
At least,
I never did that. I think my mom did a lot. When Miranda and I went with my parents, we just booked our fast passes like at 7 o'clock in the evening, and we still got most of the things we wanted. And then when we got to our trip, I had figured out how to game the system to the point where we rode Flight of Passage like 3 times in one day the year it dropped. So
ridiculous.
But anyway, so you would get those 3 fast passes. But once you got to the park and you used all 3, the system switched to a one grab at a time. And so I believe that's called it's not a la carte. A la carte's when you grab it and pay for it. But so it was 1 fast pass at a time after you use those 3. So what pretty much would happen is most people would get those first 3 done as soon as humanly possible. I think Disney World's Awesome has talked about like their strategies that they use. Pretty much every Disney podcast in existence talked about their strategy, and it's pretty much the same strategy. You get a fast pass. You try to get all three of your fast passes done within the first 3 hours of your time in the park.
Okay.
Whether that means you grab a show as your last fast pass or whatever. So you grab your three fast passes. Some people didn't even go on the rides. They would literally just go up, scan their fast pass, and leave so that then they could make their next grab. Okay. Because the big thing with that was certain, you could only book certain levels of attractions for one fast pass. So like in Animal Kingdom, Animal Kingdom's a bad example. In Epcot, I believe Epcot, Test Track and Soarin' were on the same level. And so you could only book Test Track or Soarin'. You couldn't snag them both. Oh. I might be wrong on those two exactly, but that was how the system worked. There were some rides that were considered high value, and you could only pick one high value ride.
And that's how you gamed the system, was by getting your three done.
Then you could grab as many high values as you
could. Okay. I was wondering, because you've mentioned that before, and we never got into what that strategy was, but now no longer applies.
Yeah, effectively you would do that. And the way that I particularly game the system was, a lot of people had the tendency when they saw late fast pass time to skip it, like to just not grab the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
What my strategy was I would grab that ticket regardless of how late it was. If there was a ride I wanted to go on, I'd grab it. It might be 2 o'clock in the afternoon, mm-hmm. and there might be a fast pass for Test Track at 7:45. I'm still grabbing it. And then as I'm walking around, I had the confidence to start walking towards Test Track. Ooh. And I just keep refreshing. I would just keep refreshing. And then eventually I'd get down to 5 o'clock. I'd keep refreshing because I keep editing my fast pass to change the time.
Okay.
Because I had one.
Right.
And now I was just waiting for other people to cancel theirs.
Okay. And so you can snag those.
I would literally just keep refreshing and keep lowering my time bit by bit. And like, I'd say probably like 6 out of 10 times. By the time that you finish your walk to Test Track, you're on in 15 minutes.
Sheesh, that's a pretty good success rate.
I never actually measured, but...
It's better than waiting.
I rarely had an issue mm-hmm. where I wasn't on the ride I wanted to be within like 1 to 2 hours.
That is a well-gamed system. Yeah.
So, obviously that didn't work. That resulted in what we saw FastPass being pre-COVID, which... from what I heard and even what I experienced, got like 5 years ago, the FastPass line started becoming as large as a normal standby. I waited like 40 minutes, 45 minutes in a large ticket FastPass, which
Sheesh.
I was fine with because the line was 2 hours.
Sure.
But like, still, it wasn't FastPass. It was standard line. Just the standard line was worse. And so... It was a system that got gamed, and then we ended up gaming ourselves, I would say.
I mean, classic syndrome, once everyone has a fast pass, no one has a fast pass situation going on.
Oh, yeah. So now explain to me how MaxPass worked as the Disneyland individual here.
So I had to look it up because as far as I'm aware of, in Disneyland... At least as of 2019, because that was the last time I went, there was, I'm pretty sure MaxPass was like a separate system. So like how in the new system there's Genie Plus and Genie, there was MaxPass, and then there was just regular old FastPass where you could just go and grab like a physical FastPass.
The old paper ticket.
Like you'd go and you'd scan your ticket or like your barcode on your phone, and then you would just get the paper ticket and it would have your return time on it. And then I'm pretty sure the way the system worked was like you couldn't get another fast pass for 90 minutes after you got that first fast pass. It had nothing to do with the time that like your return time was, because that was always set from when you grabbed your Like when you grabbed your paper fast pass, you knew what time it was going to be because it was like posted up. But then you could pay, I think, I pulled it up, $20 a day per ticket for Max Pass, and you could do all of that through your phone, so you don't have to run to, through like the Disneyland app, so you don't have to run and get a physical fast pass. And then same thing, 90 minutes after you get your first fast pass, you can get another one. And that was it. I don't think Disneyland ever fully transitioned into only, or maybe they have since they reopened, into like no paper fast passes. I'm pretty sure they did get rid of the actual paper fast pass stands when they rolled out like some updates to the fast pass system. So I think right now there are no paper fast passes, and now they're just in limbo until Genie arrives in Disneyland, which we don't know when that's going to happen. We do know that it's coming to Disney World on the 19th.
They did say, I think they said later this year for Disneyland. So I think it's happening before the holiday season.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. So
now, I also do want to say, as of right now, there are no fast passes in a Disney park other than Disneyland Paris. Disneyland doesn't have fast passes right now. Neither does Disney World. They haven't since COVID.
Oh, you're right. Like, it's just standby. Yeah.
Which, the reason for that, and so I know a lot of people are throwing down, well, the reasons for that is because they wanted to kill FastPass. They probably, and like, I'll be honest here, it probably was seen as an opportunity. They have probably been looking at this change for a while, but it's a lot harder to take something away that people very much enjoy and replace it with something that they, like, they're not... The people who made Genie Plus and the people who are doing Disney's marketing are not idiots. It's not that they don't see the fact that you're angry. It's just, frankly, they're a business, and this is the business decision that they have made. And so they're sticking with it. So they're not idiots. They knew that this was probably not going to be popular, but the biggest reason why FastPass was not a thing when they reopened was what FastPass allows people to do is essentially take up two spots in the park simultaneously. When you have, at some point while your ticket is going, a FastPass was a spot in line that you were saving. At some point, your ticket would allow you to hop in front of a individual who's waiting in a standby line and effectively be the ghost person in front of them. At that same time, you're shopping and getting a Dole Whip. So you are taking up two spots, which I actually believe in their system counted as two people.
Which would make sense, yeah.
Yeah, which means that they have to have a certain number of cast members to service that many people. They have to be watching the FastPass line and be serving you your Dole Whip.
That's interesting. And
they didn't have the labor capacity to do that when they first reopened, because they laid off a ton of people. Or it wasn't necessarily laid off, I don't think. It was
furloughed indefinitely.
Yeah, I think it was furloughed, fired so that they could get other jobs, but it was for many of the cast members, it was like a you will be welcome back kind of thing.
Someday you can come back.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of stories of cast members like being able to come back, and Disney has a very positive work environment. They've been applauded for it heavily, and but anyways, that's not what this episode is about. Because they weren't able to bring all those people back immediately, and because park capacity was low, which didn't facilitate the need to bring cast members in for FastPass. Mm-hmm. It would have cost them more money to like have cast members in for FastPass than FastPass would have been able to bring people in, because they had to limit park capacity. There was a whole issue. It wasn't just because they wanted to kill FastPass is the main thing. That there legitimate reasons why FastPass did not come back.
I mean, and this is kind of getting into the actual engineering side of what Genie and FastPass do is crowd management. Because if you've got, you know, a million people coming in your park and you only have a finite number of rides, then they're going to get busy. So, of course, a system like this would arise naturally. But I had never thought about FastPass being basically you doubling your presence in the park. Because, if you're in standby, and you get to that terrible spot where the two lines merge and there's a cast member telling you to wait so they can let all the fast pass people come in, basically, like, those people have been in front of you the whole time. You're just now having to wait for that part of the line to go ahead. And meanwhile, those people were off filling places in other lines and requiring, yeah, like you were saying, cast member attendance elsewhere in the park. And I guess that kind of is what separates FastPass from just straight up virtual queue.
Yeah.
Is virtual queue, it's still just one line. There is no FastPass. It's just making sure people don't stand in an incredibly long line the whole time. And maybe that's something we'll get to later in this discussion. But I think going forward, should we lay down what Genie is as far as Disney has presented it?
Yes.
I'll take care of what is Genie, and you can come in with what is Genie Plus. So, from everything that Disney has told us about what Genie is, here's what we know so far. There are currently two apps for the U.S. Disney parks. There is My Disney Experience for Disney World, and there is the Disneyland app for Disneyland. I don't know why the Disney World one isn't just called Disney World. Maybe they can fix that at some point. But this app... Well, Genie is not an app. It is a service that will be added to My Disney Experience and added to Disneyland's apps. I thought it was going to be its own standalone app, but oh well. The big perk of using Genie, which is a free service, as long as you've already paid for your tickets and whatnot, is that you can tell it all of the things that you and the people in your party enjoy. So if you're in a family of five and you say, like, oh, we want a princess meet and greet, a Marvel hero meet and greet, we want churros and we want a thrill ride and a fireworks show, it'll create an itinerary for you based on what's going on that day and what the, like, wait times are like for different rides. And in theory, that will be the optimal schedule for, you know, packing your day with what you and your party want to get. Another thing, and this is kind of the next layer up, is Disney has said that Genie will update throughout the day as wait times change and as shows maybe get canceled or moved around a bit, and it will adjust. It will also report current wait times for attractions as well as forecasted wait times. I don't know how far in the future. That will be interesting. But something that comes up with that is Disney's notorious for overestimating wait times drastically, like to the point where you'll hop in or you'll see a ride with like a 120 minute wait, and then people will be like, we only waited 40 minutes. And I wonder if Genie is going to account for that, if they're going to get more accurate with their wait time reporting, or if they're just going to keep on blowing the wait time out of proportion and hope that it turns people away. Like, I'm not sure, but that's what base level Genie is at this point.
Yeah, I did just want just something on the wait times. So I do believe when people talk about the wait times on this and like how accurate they're going to be, I totally get like why people are like there's no way they're going to be able to do this. But the current way that they do wait times is like super archaic in the parks. Like they hand a person like a fob.
Oh,
and
right.
They say, hey, give this to a person at the end of the ride, and we're going to use a stopwatch, and we're going to see how long it takes. And then they confirm that stopwatch, and then that's pretty much how they do it. What they're doing with Genie is using the official term for it, I believe, is big data.
Oh, yeah.
And so they are using wait times and park data that they have gotten from 50 years of the park, and they are using that to estimate what's going to happen at certain times of the year, as well as certain times of the day, certain days of the week, depending on, I bet that they even have down to the weather. And oh, I so bet,
yeah.
They have tons of data that now they can use to create simulation equations, and that's what's feeding into Genie. All that's feeding into those wait time clocks are a cast member. And props to the cast members, like 100%.
But, right, yeah.
There's a limit to how accurate they're going to be. So I will be interested. I'm not selling, like, I'm not throwing down that, oh, yeah, it's going to be 100% accurate. But big data can do some really powerful things. And if you are interested in, like, processing and like the world of information, look up what like what big data means and like what it's classified as. It's fascinating.
Do you think there is an AI that basically is the Genie scheduling system that they're going to be using for all of this?
I don't know if it's an AI or just like a really powerful programming system, because I don't think you would need like a full out AI to adapt.
That's fair. Yeah.
I think they have enough data that, because I think the wait time schedules are they give you a day. And so they give you like, hey, today Big Thunder's probably going to look like this, and so you should go in this time.
Okay, yeah.
And that's at least from like the videos, that's what it kind of looked like.
Okay.
And so I'm guessing what probably it will be is just like a really powerful processor that has like a bunch of equations that have been created through this massive amount of data. Yeah. And it will just kind of be like, okay, checking in. What's the park admission? What does the weather look like? How have the ride times been up until this hour?
There are only a handful of factors that you really need to consider when you're estimating a wait time. So that would make sense.
Throw all those in the equation and barf it out into everybody's phone.
So then do you think with the rollout of Genie and these forecasting things, do you think they're still going to continue estimating wait time, like real-time wait times, with just a cast member with a fob?
Probably.
Because you'd think with like the... not to use tracking as a trigger word for this, but like with the monitoring of guest location and experience, and they're already using like, you know, RFID to locate guests, you'd think they could just use, you know, the phone in your pocket to occasionally like, okay, I'm going to ping this phone when it enters the queue and I'm going to ping it when they get on the ride. That's my wait time. Like, I'm almost surprised that they're still doing like the little fob system.
I think the thing is, there is a thing with customer satisfaction and psychology in which if you have less of an undesirable experience than you expected, you see the product as better than what it actually is. GPSs use this a ton because they realize that if your customer shaves 1 or 2 minutes off of their arrival time, they feel very satisfied with their driving, and they are more likely to use the GPS in the future because they think it saved them time. In reality, the GPS added 2 minutes before you left, and you just happened to drive how it expected you to.
That's fair.
And so you shaved off 2 minutes. I shave 2 minutes off of my commute pretty much every morning, and I drive the same every morning. I know it's collecting that data, and so... I think Disney has realized this, and yes, the wait times aren't accurate, but you can't tell me that when you wait 20 minutes for a ride that told you you were going to wait 40, you don't feel like you've won. Everybody walks off of that thinking that they beat Disney. Yeah. It's like, we only waited 20 minutes for that. Suck on that. Like,
we really got them on this one.
Yeah, we got the mouse.
Shows you.
Yeah, no, so, like, people feel like it's a gotcha when that happens, and they feel happier. And so that, along with the fact that a fob that you hand to a person does not take any processing on a server. And
that's
it doesn't
true.
Screw up the, like, it doesn't slow down the park Wi-Fi, it doesn't do anything. If you were to connect every wait time up to Disney... or up to Genie Plus, I guarantee you that thing would melt. It would not go
Some
well.
Some server building somewhere would be catching on fire.
It would just explode. Yeah. You just hear a loud pop, and then suddenly, like, there'd be announcements say, we have changed back to paper fast pass. Welcome to the Dark Age.
All wait times are infinite. Don't get online.
Nope. Stand outside and cry.
We will be launching all the fireworks at the same time.
Yeah, but I bet they'll still stick with the fob. It's one of those, it's not broken, so don't fix it kind of thing. It's good enough. It doesn't cost them, like, any money to do it.
Yeah.
And when you get the fob, you feel a little special.
You do. I was going
like,
to say,
I remember as a,
yeah.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, whereas, like, they gave me the fob and I felt important.
You get to the front, you're like, look what I have. This is for you.
It's like, if I don't give this to you, you don't get to do your job.
Looks like I'm in charge now, huh? I want to sit in the front of Splash Mountain, thank you. And then you hand it to him and walk past.
But, yeah, I think they'll still keep that around.
Yeah, those are good points. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I think in this day and age, an analog system that works is pretty priceless when, you know, data and power are really your driving factors. So, yeah. I get that. So, continuing on our path. Want to take us into the realm of the plus?
No, but I have to. So I'm gonna cover Genie Plus. I'm going to cover Lightning Lanes because they are effectively the same system, just with a different paywall in front of them.
Yes.
So Genie Plus is what the actual replacement to Fast Passes are. Fast Pass and Mass Pass is replaced by Genie Plus, not Genie. Genie is free. Everybody gets to use Genie as much as they want. And I very much love Genie. I think Genie is a great tool. Same. I think it's going to be... I don't think I will use it as much. I'm going to use the wait time thing like none other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that'll be super interesting. And I remember using free itinerary planners online because that was a thing. Like third-party itinerary planners. And now to see what Disney offers you, it'll be very interesting. But also, yeah... It's free, it's convenient, and the wait times are always a plus.
Yeah, and if you're new to a Disney park, any of the parks, definitely use that. It tells you what restaurants are nearby and what they're serving. It tells you, like, hey, you really want to do Thunder? Well, Thunder's low right now, and this is around lunchtime, so why don't you go pick up lunch at X? Or why don't you go... Right afterwards, you can snag Pirates, and then right after that, there's a parade nearby, so go hit that up. Mm-hmm. So it's stuff like that you just aren't gonna know. You totally use it, and like it's a great way to kind of get some of that Disney inside stuff that a lot of people who have been on a lot of trips just kind of know,
right?
But they discovered over like five or six trips. Yeah, you had to learn the hard way. Some people love that, and if that's you, just don't use it.
Yeah,
Disney is the same if you just put your phone in your pocket. But anyway, so Genie Plus is something entirely different. So what Genie Plus is that at each park of Disney World, and it will be the same, if not very similar, at Disneyland, there are a select number of rides, pretty much every ride minus one or two, that if you pay $15 a day,
you can gain access in Disney World,
$15 a day in Disney World, you can gain access to a Fast Pass-like system. They are now called Lightning Lanes, but it's the same. It's a secondary line that gets you past the standby onto the ride faster. So for $15 a day, you can book one at a time a Lightning Lane on select attractions that allow you to get onto the ride faster. You can start booking those the day of at 7 in the morning. I personally, and I will give an update on how this goes, I'm not waking up on my vacation at 7. That's not happening. I don't rope drop, me personally. Maybe I will when I have kids. But me personally, as an adult with no kids, I am not rope dropping.
You don't rope? That surprises me. This is something I did not know about you.
I stay late. I don't rope drop.
That's fair. I mean,
if I rope drop, I can't stay late. Oh. I will die. I need that. Vacation is when I sleep in. I go full like island time. I enjoy myself. I leisurely get to where I want to go.
See,
and then I will stay as late as I want.
My body just goes full die hard mode and just doesn't get it. I wake up and rope drop and then stay until close and then do that every day, and then, you know, my body just sleeps incredibly deeply for the whatever 6 hours between nights, and then
I was trained by my parents to enjoy the Disney morning. the wake no no yeah. just hold on. You wake up, you go onto your balcony, or you just go and find a place to sit outside.
Oh yeah,
my parents had a cup of coffee, Nathan and I would get a cup of juice.
Nice.
And we just sit and chat and have a good time. We'd be in the parks by 10. It's not like we're going in at noon. We'd be in the parks by 10 at the latest.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but no, I don't typically rope drop, and I'm not waking up at 7 to grab a dang
yeah.
lightning lane. But anyway, so you can start grabbing those lightning lanes at 7. And with those, you'll skip the line. At that point, it works same as Fastpass. You'll be able to make those one at a time. I believe you can make them one after the other, or is there an hour break?
There, you can't, for just like regular lightning lane, you reserve one, and then, where is it? There it is, yeah. You can reserve one, and you can't reserve another one until you have redeemed that one. So I believe it's
yeah.
well, like once you are in
once
line.
Once you redeem.
Yeah.
yeah
and then you can get another one. Yeah. So it's one
that's
at a time.
That's at least how I understand it.
But
yeah,
it is.
That's at least how I understand it.
It's one at a time, but it's like unlimited, quote unquote. Like there's no, you can get as many as you can fit into the day in theory.
Yeah. So for those who have used the FastPass Plus system, it is the same as after you used your three.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just starting your day off with that one at a time system. Here's where it gets confusing. Separate from the $15 a day, there are Lightning Lane exclusive rides, which that means that 1 to 2 rides in each park, there will be exclusions to that $15 Genie Plus. Those rides will be what's called a la carte. You will pay to go on to their lightning lanes separate from that $15. And so the Disney gave a few examples, one of which was you like on the 19th, they were saying that Space Mountain would be like $8 and Rise of the Resistance would be $15. So, for example, the rides that I believe I actually can name off all of them. Epcot, the rides are Frozen Ever After and Ratatouille.
That they are.
For Animal Kingdom, it's Everest and Flight of Passage.
Yep.
For Magic Kingdom, it's Seven Dwarves and Space Mountain. And for Hollywood Studios, it is Rise of the Resistance and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Well done.
So those also, like a ton of those surprised me. But those are the rides at each park that you cannot use that $15 Genie Plus to get onto. You have to pay separately to use their lightning lanes. Now, with that, you can only do two separate lightning lanes per day. So you can only book, and I believe for that one, you are only allowed to book a lightning lane on a ride once. So you can't do Rise twice, is at least how I understand it. So you can do Rise and Mini, but I don't believe you can do Rise and Rise. I might be wrong on that.
And that's not saying you can't use your individual lightning lane and then just get in standby. Like, you
yeah,
can
no,
still
no, no.
do that. You just can't, like, ride Rise, like, pay for Rise, and then ride it, and then buy another one for Rise.
Yes, that's at least how I understand
it. That's what they're making
it
sound like.
Yeah, so that is kind of the difference. Now, this being said, standby will still be fully operational. There will be no changes to standby. There will just be this added lane now. And so I think we've now fully explained the new system.
I think so.
What are your thoughts?
It's interesting. We discussed why have a crowd management system in the first place. You know, offering people a way to, you know, delay their arrival and delay their line waiting is appealing, and people like that. The benefit of putting it behind not only one paywall for Genie Plus, but for the high demand rides, two paywalls. Obviously you're going to get, well, in theory, you are going to get shorter lines for those double paywalled rides. because it's already expensive to go to a Disney park for a vacation, and sometimes it just won't be worth it. So I think what we're going to see in Disney World is an increase in standby usage. And the thing is, from what I've seen, because I don't remember how long ago it was. It might have been like a month or two ago. Disney World had Rise of the Resistance in virtual queue and then got rid of virtual queue. And it is currently like standby only.
And the standby's not terrible.
And it's not terrible. I've seen people say, like, I rode Rise 3 times today in standby, and I never waited longer than, like, an hour, and things like that. So hopefully that same thing will be happening, and you'll just have even fewer people in standby because they'll be in Lightning Lane. But then again, now you're going to have Lightning Lane people funneling into the standby line, and it's the FastPass problem, where you've got people merging and delaying the standby even longer. So there's that. Also, Genie Plus is $20 in Disneyland when it's $15 in Disney World, and I think that's stupid. There are only 2 parks. There are fewer rides in Disneyland. So I guess that means resources are, like, more scarce. Like, I guess in Disneyland, resources are scarce, so you gotta pay more for your spot in line. But the main thing that I've seen that worries me the most is there are so many factors that can affect what you'll pay for an individual Lightning Lane pass. Like, they made it sound like, you know, depending on the day and how busy the park is and what season it is and what the weather's like, the price could be anywhere from $7 to $15, which isn't a huge difference, but if you've got a family of 5, then you're paying that for every ride on top of your 15 per person per day. I'm sure that adds up quickly. So I don't know. I'm interested to see what people think of it when it drops. I think that'll be the best indicator to its success. But right now, I'm just happy that I'm not a guinea pig and I get to watch everyone else. But what do you think of all this?
So I think the thing is, I can understand. Do I like the paywall? No. Do I understand the paywall? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to remember, because I love the FastPass system.
Right.
But the FastPass system became a replacement for the standby lines, not a supplement to the standby lines. Yeah, it really did. And case in point, I think the only standby line that I waited in that was longer than like 30 minutes the last time I went was Flight of Passage, because I wanted to see the standby line.
Makes sense.
If a ride was longer than 20 minutes, I'd go find a fast pass for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it was. Yeah. And so what that resulted in was standby lines that were way longer than they should have been, because what we don't like to admit is fast pass slows down standby.
Yeah,
it does. 100% did. It added a chunk of time onto how long you'd have to wait in the standby line. Because when you think about it, every time a FastPass person gets on, that is one person in the standby that has to wait an extra,
like, route. Person, yeah.
Yeah. They have to wait a whole extra person. They have to wait a whole extra cycle.
Yeah.
And you would have waves of FastPass people come through, like a Big Thunder or like a Space Mountain, there would just be a wave of fast pass.
Yeah.
And you just watch them all go on and fill an entire car and go off. And so what I think the paywall does is there's going to be a lot of people where it's just not worth it to pay that $15 every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure most people going will do it at least once or twice on their trip. But like Miranda and I are looking at it, there are certain parks that we're not going to use it on.
Yeah,
I would rather do a $10 each Flight of Passage for us than do $15 and the $10. Like, we know we want to do Flight of Passage. We know the wait times on the other ones. With FastPass, it was easy to get a Kilimanjaro Safari. So like, you just watch your times and you go, if you're okay waiting a bit, then yeah, you just jump on.
Yeah.
So like, we're not going to use it every day. Like, if we're not going to use it every day, there's a guarantee a ton of other people are going to do the same thing. And because of that, the Lightning Lanes will actually be really fast, and they won't impede the standby too much. The lightning lanes should be empty. When you think about like the core design of the idea,
yeah,
they should be empty. It shouldn't negatively impact the standby, and it shouldn't be a wait for the person who bought it. And so it's a balance. And so mm-hmm. I get the paywall. I think that they should let you book in advance. At least get your first ticket the night before.
Yeah.
That's kind of my thing, is like, I'd like to know, like, when I go into the park, I have a ticket. And so how I'm going to be trying to do that is I'm going to get my tickets on the bus or the walk over. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to shoot for, just when I wake up. Yeah. But I would like to know the night before. It's like, okay, we're going to try being in the park by 10 because I got Soarin' for us at 10:30.
Okay, yeah.
And so we're just going to walk over. We're going to do Soarin'. It's going to be great. Like, that's the one thing I wish that they would change.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think, and we've seen this in Paris already, they've had to reduce the rate because no one's buying the
yeah.
Paris's is even worse. They have no fast pass system. It's just pay it's to just get this. Into the line.
It's the old yeah, fast pass system, but you have to pay.
Yeah, it's literally just Lightning Lane. Yeah. No Genie Plus. And they've had to reduce their rates pretty drastically, like some rides by over 50%.
Which is nice for us, because, and this kind of ties in with what you were just saying, basically they're trying to walk the line with this barrier to entry for faster line experience, where it's not so accessible that it's basically just another standby line, but it's not so stupid expensive that no one does it and standby is still super long. So there's gonna be, and that makes sense why they would include like $7 to $15 so that they can play with it and not go back on anything, and they don't have to do what Paris had to do and cut their rates. So I see what you're saying. I think it definitely will achieve that in terms of making sure Lightning Lane is the people who really want a fast experience, who are willing to pay for it, who, you know, don't want to stand in the standby. I think it'll do that. I just want to see, like, if the effect on standby is as bad as it was before, and if Disney adjusts, if it is bad. That'll be the big thing.
Yeah. If I were to offer just one piece of advice, if there's somebody listening to this, especially when Genie Plus is first coming out,
mm-hmm.
and they're sitting there like, especially because I know the biggest complaint, a family of four, this is $60 a day because it's 15 per person per day.
Yeah.
That's Disney's already expensive, and mm-hmm. that's not a small amount of money. And family of four, that's not considered a super big family. There are larger families going to Disney, and that adds up. If you're going on like a 5-day trip, I mean, that's $300 that you Sheesh. Didn't know you would be spending.
Yeah.
And so what I would say in that case, so Miranda and I are treating Genie Plus as a option, mm-hmm. not something that we are missing out on if we don't get it, or yeah. honestly, even it's just like an extra thing that we can choose to do. But for some of the days, we're not even going to get Genie Plus before we go in.
Yeah.
We're going to kind of feel the day out a little bit. If it's really rough and we're going to do it, we have a few days where, like, obviously I want to try it and stuff yeah. like that, and that's worth my $15 that day just to try it out. But I would say treat it less of like a, it's not like Park Hopper, where right. you add it onto your ticket and like for some people, if they don't have Park Hopper, it's not worth the ticket.
Yeah.
I don't think Genie Plus is like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's an add-on. It's not.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be part of the experience. It is an option, like you said.
It's like choosing to do character dining, or mm-hmm. honestly, it's closer to getting dessert after dinner.
That's fair. Yeah. Like,
it's not everybody wants to get dessert. Not everybody needs to get dessert. Some people, that's the best part of dinner,
mm-hmm.
and that's like the best thing they can have is. And it's actually comparable price, that $15 dessert at the end of dinner. For some people, that's the best thing ever. And those people 100% should get it.
Yeah.
But if you're kind of like him and Han and you're sitting there, it's like, well, I don't even know if like we really need it. Because especially if you've been to Disney since Fast Passes stopped going, everybody's figured out how to get onto their rides with only standby, with no option. And so I would kind of treat it like that. And then if you have like a ride that's like, let's say you or your kid is a huge Star Wars fan, you're like, man, I want to get on Rise. Like, I want to make sure that Rise the Resistance is a ride I get on. Then the day you're going to Hollywood Studios, just say, this day we're gonna put aside this amount of money. Like, that's the extra that we're doing to make sure we get on Rise.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're willing to risk it, let's say you've been on it before, or you're not that big of a Star Wars fan, or you're just kind of like, yeah, it seems really cool, I want to do it. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't do the standby when it gets lower, or wait in line if you want to. But Disney's not forcing you to shell out money.
Yeah.
Now, as the system stands, they're not forcing you to shell out money. This could change when it releases if it's abysmal without Genie Plus. And if that's the case, then they did it wrong.
That's fair. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just kind of my two cents.
Well, and I think that's like, and we'll just do this one quick thing before moving on. When it was virtual queues for Rise, you would see people that there were like two windows where virtual queue spots would open. It was like 7 a.m. and then I think like noon or 11 or something. And if you weren't lucky enough to get a boarding group, because it was basically random, everyone's logging on at the same time to try and get in the virtual queue. If you didn't get a spot, you just didn't get to ride the ride. And that sucks if you like fly all the way across the country to go to Disney and you don't get to ride it. So this gives you that option that's like, well, if this is on your must do, here's a way to make sure that you will do it. And it's, you know, it's extra money, but if you're only doing it the once, then like it must be worth it to you, especially like now you don't have to wake up and everyone rapidly refresh their phones and, you know, cross your fingers that you get to ride this ride you're paying for as a part of your admission price. Like, now there's a way to do that. So
yeah, I will say, like, the fact that I know I'm going to be on Rise of the Resistance because of the Lightning Lane is a nice fact. Like, I was like, man, I'm going to have to, like, really, because I think we have one Hollywood day planned right now.
Mm-hmm.
We might jump it to two. But we got 7 days, so one of the parks doesn't get 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now Hollywood's not our most favorite. Mm-hmm. But we might end up swapping that with Magic. But I was worried. I was like, man, I'm gonna have to like really like I'm gonna have to wake up. I'm gonna have to get this virtual queue, and I'm gonna have to like push for it or whatever happens. And now I know, even if the standby's 2 hours, it's worth it to me to see that, pay 15, 20 bucks to get onto that ride. Because I know I'm only going to do it once. I can't hit anything like that anywhere else. I'm paying for the experience. I'd pay that. I mean, if I'm paying $8 for a Dole Whip, I'm willing to pay
that's true.
$20 to get on Rise.
You do need to put the prices in Disney perspective. They're actually not that much. You know, $15, that's, you know, a tenth the price of a t-shirt. So you're really saving money.
Yeah. But all right. I think we beat this horse.
We did. The only thing left to do is to wait and see what the people think, and then to wait and see what you think when you get to experience it firsthand.
Godspeed, everybody. thank you for being the guinea pigs.
We salute you.
Good
and
luck.
Now it's time for Mouse Geared.
Yeah.
All right. It's been a while since we've done a Mouse Geared.
It has.
It's a few weeks now.
Yeah,
we had let's see, last week was our Timekeeper's holiday. Mm-hmm. Which I liked that. I think that was fun.
That was fun.
I'm looking forward to our next piece of history discussion, because that was a good time. Yeah.
I think our next non-normal segment, though, Halloween's coming up, and we made a promise.
We did. We made a blood oath with no blood, but we made an oath that do we talk about it? Or do we?
Well,
wait?
I think we already have.
We already have. Yeah, we're a full-on Mouse Gear of
Haunted Mansion.
For Halloween, which is I'm not excited. That's a heavy load. We're gonna need to do some prep for that. Luckily today I come to you with simple gifts, with hopefully something pretty palatable, pretty easy to get down. This is a Disneyland attraction. It used to be in both parks. It used to be in Magic Kingdom and in Disneyland. This is a Fantasyland dark ride. I am really hoping you have ridden it. But it is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yes, I've ridden it.
Have you ridden both versions or just the Magic Kingdom version?
I rode the Disneyland version, not the Magic Kingdom
version. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. Do you?
I have no idea what to do with this.
Do you recall? Or
vaguely.
Well, allow me to walk the viewer,
yeah,
the listener.
Yeah, because I need to think.
Yeah. So, from what I can recall, this ride is too old for even me to have a firsthand experience with the reference material, but the Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is a ride based in the world of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. And in the ride, I believe you are playing the role of Mr. Toad, and you are driving your little old buggy through Toad Hall and then out into the town, where you get into all kinds of trouble, such as driving through a bar and knocking things off the walls and driving into like a village and you know, ruining everything. And you are so bad at driving. You are such a bad, bad toad that you go to court and are sentenced to serve in hell. And then...
I forgot about this. Oh my god. I forgot about this.
There is, at the end of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and I'm having trouble remembering if you even go to jail. I think straight from the court scene, you just go into the hell scene. And there are just little demons everywhere. And the guy who was the judge in the court is now the devil, and it is physically warmer in that space. It is warm, and then the ride ends, and you just it's just one of those classic old Fantasyland rides with a not happy ending, like how Snow White used to be.
And a problematic theme.
And a problematic theme. And, you know, it's honestly, I think it's my favorite Fantasyland dark ride. Because it's so like not what you would expect in a Disney park, like
absolutely bonkers.
It's absolutely bonkers. I love it. I think it, and it's so cheesy. All of the scenery, it's a classically old dark ride. All the scenes are just painted flats that just kind of move out of the way. You've got black lighting for effects, kind of, and that's the extent of the set design. So do you have an idea for what you would do? Reskin, retheme? What are you gonna do to the old toad?
All right, I think that this is going to be a redo, because Mr. Toad, it's gonna be a similarly themed ride, or not theme, like the baseline of the theme is going to be similar, but the ride mechanics are just so old that anything I do to this, it will not look the same when I'm done with it.
It's the original dark ride.
Yeah. So now I will say, I think Disney World is awesome, ended up planting like the seeds of this idea into
Ooh,
my head.
Okay.
And it's themed to our episode.
Oh.
I would like to take this ride and turn it into an Aladdin escape ride.
Ooh.
So
okay, go on.
I want to replace the cars with magic carpets, because I don't really like the current Aladdin ride. It's boring, and it's Dumbo, effectively.
Oh, the flying carpets. Yeah,
the flying carpets. You go up and down. It's the same as Dumbo.
Yeah.
So I want to do a ride in which you are in a magic carpet, and you are careening through the Cave of Wonders.
You said careening with passion.
Yes. As it goes, as it's like collapsing around you.
Okay.
With the final scene, we're still going to keep like a similar hell ride kind of thing, where when it like all comes crashing down and you like go down, like you go down, the walls come crashing around you, and then there's a light. And you see a lamp, and you hear Genie's voice say something, and then you go out of the ride. Like, that's just how it ends. So, that's what I want to do. I want to replace this with kind of like a, like, takes some of the cues from Dinosaurs without, like, the Dinosaur Ride without, like, as much of a whiplash, but kind of, like, careening back and forth and going around bends really fast. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to need a little bit more space than what Mr. Toad currently has to offer. But I don't know the dimensions of what it has, but small. I mean, if it's only 15 seconds, it's going to be a really good 15 seconds of you going through the Cave of Wonders.
I think it's longer than that, but it is small because on one side of it, you've got, it might be Pinocchio, and then the top floor of that show building is Alice in Wonderland. So
yeah, I don't think you realize how fast I want these carpets to be. So
like rocket rods fast, like break the tracks fast.
I don't know. I want it
right
fast.
On the edge of that.
I want it to feel like I'm trying to escape from a cave crumbling.
Is it trackless?
I don't know if we have the space for trackless. That's what I'm saying. I think you have to go track. I think you're limited on space so much. I think you gotta go track. I think the baseline, they've made some really cool tracks. The new Guardians ride, I actually think their track system would be super good because you can twist and turn
right
on the new Guardians. I think instigating that would allow you to do stuff like in that small space, add some thrill, like going backwards and like add some Everest elements into it.
I like
that would like make it feel a little bit faster without turning the ride into an afterthought. But the queue would be really fun because you could literally like have you enter the Cave of Wonders mouth.
I like that.
And like have treasure all over the place and have it like scream at people if you try to touch it.
I mean, it also, I'd say that fits in with the Fantasyland theme of it all as well.
Oh, yeah.
Since Cave of Wonders is like a myth and a story in the
world. There needs to be an Aladdin ride in Disney.
And one that's not Dumbo. It deserves better.
It really
Come
does.
Come on, people. You give it Dumbo and some spitting camels. What honor you bestow upon Aladdin.
The spitting camels are fun.
I mean, they are fun. They're probably, that's the most fun Aladdin thing you can do in a Disney park is get spat on by a camel.
Honestly. Okay. All right, hit me with it. You've had time to think.
I have had time to think, and you're going to think I wasted it, because I think I like your idea better than mine. I struggled with picking a ride for this one, because last time you gave us Space Mountain, and that was a toughie, and I was going to hit you with something heavy this time, and I had concepts for something heavier, but we'll have to save those for another time, and I decided to go with this one. I think they're currently, so I want to redo it, and I want to update the ride tech similar to you so that we can get more speed. I don't think I need the turning, but however we can get speed in there, maybe we bank tiny turns or something, but speed. And I want it to be Wreck-It Ralph themed.
Oh,
and
let me
tell you my vision. And I think there's a Wreck-It Ralph ride going in one of the Asian Disney parks, like based off of the racing game.
That sounds familiar.
I think they're already putting one in. I don't know what it's going to be, and I haven't seen anything about it. So if this sounds like that, whatever. This is my original idea. I don't want to do, I don't remember the name of it, but the racing game that's in Wreck-It Ralph. But the experience to be, you walk in and you're walking in like an old, not Tomorrowland old, but like an old in a good way, like retro arcade. Mm. And you've got cabinets all over. And your ride vehicle is taking you into a scaled up ride or a game cabinet. And you're going into the game. And so on the inside, it can be Wreck-It Ralph or it can switch between different games. But I think bouncing between different games, seeing the characters, utilizing like screens to add depth because the building is really small and it's very cramped. Using some screens to add some depth, some speed, and then possibly like some Indiana Jones / dinosaur-esque vehicle tilting to make it feel like you're going a little faster, to kind of get like those G-forces when you're actually only going like, you know, Autopia speeds. But something along those lines where you are going into the game, maybe you're trying to hunt down, not hunt, that's too aggressive. Maybe you're trying to find King Candy and going through all of the different games, and we've got lights and screens and updated effects. And then at the very end of it, a classic, like, I don't know if this is how it is in Magic Kingdom, there's a Little Mermaid ride in Magic Kingdom, yeah. right? Is it in Magic Kingdom? Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah, there is. And at the end, you've got that classic scene where it's just like, you know, the Ariel and Eric like waving over the ocean front and like all of the cast of the story are there right in front of you. Something like that.
Right.
I will miss the hell ending of Mr. Toad, but I love that kind of ending a lot more, especially when it's like a very grand scene with like a perspective painting and things like that. So yeah, I wouldn't shove this into the future and do all screens and like AR glasses like Nintendo World at Universal with the Mario Kart ride. Mm-hmm. But I think something along like those lines could still fit in with Fantasyland and still use the space because it's really small and you can't expand. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I thought when you started this, I thought you were going to pitch like a Toy Story Mania style thing with Wreck-It Ralph, where like you'd be like shooting down walls and like going through the different games and stuff like that.
That probably would do better in the space. I personally am just, I'm not a fan of that style of ride.
That's fair.
Like
that's fair.
It, and I mean, if you're with a group of like six people, then that's a great ride to go on. But if you are like two people or, you know, three, then like a competition style ride is fun one time.
And then I don't know. Like, I gotta disagree with that because my dad and I have done Buzz Lightyear Ranger Spin well, up until the moment I was able to get the max points, and he was not happy about that.
And you'll never.
And then
let
I
him
told him how it. To do it, and now it's just like, hey, okay, who's gonna screw up first?
Well, and that's the other thing is there's already that kind of style of ride in Disneyland, yeah. and you know, and you've got that in California Adventure with Toy Story Mania. So I wouldn't want to add another one where there was a story-based ride, because I think the story-based rides are typically more, you know, not interesting, but like more, people take more interest in them and they're more immersive, that's it, than like the arcade-style rides. But also, to your credit, I think that would do super well, and that's a great ride for limited space when you need to cram a lot of experience into a small area. Slap some screens up and have them shoot at them.
We'll use that one later.
I think you won that one because I would love to ride an Aladdin escape ride with that technology.
I like the Wreck-It Ralph, though. I will say, I really like the Wreck-It Ralph. I still think there's really no winners in Mouse Gears. There's no winners. There's no losers. I think it's always just...
There,
every ride I feel like could exist in a Disney park. Every ride we've
there is
down.
One winner, and that is Smaug. Smaug will always yes. be the winner.
Well, until whatever we do with Haunted Mansion, man, we might come up with something cool for Haunted Mansion.
Speaking of Haunted Mansion, did you watch The Muppets Haunted Mansion?
I have not.
It's okay.
Not yet. It's okay. I did watch the 50th celebration. Documentary thing, and that was pretty cool.
I'm so behind on the Disney Plus documentaries. I just started Behind the Attraction. I'm so behind.
I would almost skip that one, to be honest.
It's kind of
just the Imagineering story.
It's kind of cheesy, and it's but it's nice. It's fresh content, but that's beside the point. So
yeah, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Well, I think that should probably wrap it up for us, don't you think?
I think so. I have no clue what our timestamp is at because mine is all
bad.
Messed up. Uh-oh.
It's bad. It's really not good.
Bad
yeah, we said this was one was going to be short, and I'm looking at like over an hour.
Ha!
We
got
timestamp.
Us good.
Again.
We showed those fools.
Listeners, thank you so much for listening and joining us again mm-hmm. on a magical Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever you decide to listen to this. Hopefully this episode finds you well and not in grieving of the old fast pass system, but acceptance of what we have now and hope for what it can be. The hope is that if there are issues, Disney will work on them. They already have with Paris. So keep that optimism high and
carry on.
I'd say just give it the best shot that you can and see. No one liked being limited to three fast pass systems, and we cheated that one really quick. So let's just see how we can cheat this system as good as much as humanly possible.
And no matter what you think, tell us. Let us know how it is if you're experiencing it, because we'd love to know.
Yes, if you are there experiencing on the day of, I don't know if we have anybody that listens that is going anytime soon, but if you are there, send us what you think. We will read it out next episode. I guess probably a couple episodes from now. We will read it out when we get it.
we'll do it when we do it.
Yeah, and let everybody know. Let us know what you think, because we are going to be watching it intently Tuesday.
We will, and you can drop us those thoughts on Apple Podcasts and the reviews, or on Instagram. You can send us a personal message, or just comment on our posts if you really want to let the world know how you feel about the Genie system. But other than that, thank you all so much for listening. You know, check us out, leave reviews. We always read reviews, but we're waiting on more reviews. So
yep, we got that one. It still won't show up on Apple Podcasts to begin with, but it is showing up on our side. So
nice.
Thank you again for that one. But awesome. Leave a review. Check us out on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, on a bunch of others that I can never remember.
Anywhere you get podcasts, you can probably get us.
Probably. So yep, I think that's it.
All right, that does it. Thanks y'all for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Have a magical week, everybody.
Ho-ho!
I did
there it is. There it is.
I am the captain now.